There we go. Morning, everyone. Good. Whoa. That's all right. That's all right. We'll just give it a little second to dial it down. How's everyone going today? Good? Awesome. Tell you what, I'm excited today because this week has been very challenging, right? So, who of you know that when you get a bit of opposition, you know you're on track, right? So, I've just been... there's been some sickness going on, there's been some drama going on, there's been one thing after another, and I'm trying to hear the Lord on what He wants me to speak, and praise the Lord, He's given me some nuggets, but it's just been a bit knocked around this week. And, you know, every situation, whatever we're trying to do, particularly in the Lord, you know, last week I spoke about purpose and ministry, you know, there's going to be opposition. Now, you've got to make sure you don't let your opposition become your excuse, all right? Your opposition should only push you forward, propel you forward towards whatever it is that God's got for you, whatever you're pushing towards, whatever you're trying to achieve, whatever you're trying to fulfill in God that He's called you to. That opposition should only strengthen you, not weaken you. Don't let it be an excuse that to walk away, to turn away, to deviate from what God has for you. So, you know, this week, whenever anything's happening and things aren't going right, and I'm just like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, He's got something good. So I hope He does, and I know He does. Today, every single person here is meant to be here. God has got something to impart to you, something to say to you, something to download into you, into your heart, and so... we need to open our hearts, open our ears to what the Lord is saying to us today. It may have nothing to do with what I'm talking about. God will speak to you about whatever it is He needs to speak to you about. But today, He's got a purpose to fulfill. Amen? Amen. Joel chapter 3, verse 12. I'll just pray first, eh? That's probably a good idea. Dear Lord, we give You glory and praise. We thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for Your purpose. We thank You, Lord, that You have a purpose to fulfill today. And so, Lord, I just ask that You would move, that Your Spirit would speak to each and every one of us today and bring us new revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 3, verse 12. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. I want to talk a bit about, I don't know if not all of you know that I've got a farming background. So we used to have a broadacre farm in a place called Magumba, and about an hour and a half north of Perth. And we had always had sheep, we had cattle and crops as well. But sheep were one of my favourites. Spring, having lambs in the spring was great. We used to shear the sheep myself and look after them. All the sheep are very intense when it comes to maintenance and animal husbandry and that sort of thing. You've got to do a fair bit of work. Cattle are much simpler. You know, you get them in once a year and mark the calves and sell them off, and it's simpler for cattle. But sheep, there's a lot more work, and so you're often doing sheep work throughout the year. I developed a love for sheep and working with them, and it was great. You know, and I actually came to school in Perth for year 10, coming off the farm to live in Perth to go to school at Kingsway for 3 years. And it was in my second year down here, I was in year 11, and the art teacher, every morning they did the devotion in the form room, and the teacher wanted to talk about sheep, so she asked me, what do you think about sheep? Tell us a bit about sheep. And you know, the biggest thing about sheep is they can be really frustrating, right? Because when you're working with the sheep, you're always aware that they always are going to want to go the wrong way. You want them to go through that gate, so they go through down the fence down there. or they take off, they never go the way you want. And this is what I told the teacher. I said, they're so infuriating, they're stupid, they got no brains, they don't know where to go. And I berated poor sheep for a little while. And she wanted to, the point of her message was that Jesus is our shepherd, right? And we are his sheep. And afterwards, I thought, oh, gee, that kind of didn't line up with what she was trying to say. But in reality, I think I was actually pretty close to the mark, right? You know, we are his sheep, but do we want to go our own way? Do we want to not go through the open gate, but go off in a direction that we think is better? But, you know, sheep are a very herd animal. You know, they stick together. And don't we also follow so easily, right? We follow. And with a mob of sheep, you might have a mob of 200 sheep. It just takes one to take off out that way. If you don't catch that one, then the rest are gone too. So they just follow so easily. And we follow so easily. You know, we've got all these things that are trying to catch our attention and catch our distraction on our phone, on our socials, on in every situation. There's so many different things where we're like, oh yeah, look at that guy, let's go this way. And it's easy to neglect and forget what God is, the open gate that he wants us to walk through. I'm speaking about purpose a bit there, but that's not actually what I'm trying to talk about today. But sheep, Matthew 25 talks about the sheep and the goats, and that's what I want to look at. Goats, I haven't farmed goats, but sheep need a shepherd. Goats don't have a shepherd. You have a herder, because goats aren't grouping animals so much. They like to be out alone. They go out to the higher areas, the rough areas. They're not easily herded. They take a lot more work. And so that's why they used to run the sheep and the goats together, so that they would somewhat stay together. If you run a mob of goats by themselves, they're always off out this way, out that way, and all over the place, and it's really hard to manage. So they run the sheep and the goats together, but then at night they'd need to separate them and keep them apart because the sheep could handle the weather better. But they actually complement each other when they're grazing as well. And, you know, how important is it what we eat? You know, the food that we put into our spirit is critical. Goats eat the woody, non-nutritious, tough, harsh plants. Sheep will eat the soft, nourishing, green, leafy pastures. And so goats are a very different animal. They're quite independent. They're quite volatile. You know, they like to engage in what's the word? Argumentative, you might say. I don't know if you've been near goats. They like to charge you pretty quickly. You know, sheep maybe now and then, but goats every time. They've got these long horns. You stay away from the goats. They're dangerous. And so we can see a difference between sheep and goats in the natural, but the Bible talks about sheep and goats in different ways too. Sheep, we know Jesus, the one who had purpose that I spoke about last time, the Lamb of God. You know, he was the lamb. He wasn't the goat that went to slaughter. He was the lamb because the lamb is the perfection that God desires. He's the sacrifice. You know, when it comes to the sacrifices that the God's people did, sheep were the burnt offering, whereas goats were more commonly the sin offering. So goats has a connection to sin that lambs don't have as much. And we know that so whenever there's a burnt offering, which is like a voluntary offering. It's not a repentant offering. It's a voluntary offering, and it's shared when the Jew or Israelite brings their burnt offering, the sheep, to the priest. They work on it together. So they share the work of the sacrifice and of the dividing and the process that's done. They do it together and they eat some together as well. Whereas the sin offering, it's all done by the priest. And so the priest handles the goats, and which can be sheep as well for a sin offering, but the priest handles the goats, and it's quite a different process. And also in the Bible, you know, we see that goat has a connection to deception, with Isaac being deceived with the goat skin on Jacob's arm to steal the birthright. So Matthew 25, verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger or take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison or come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment and righteousness, but the righteous into eternal life." It's a pretty powerful scenario, and it's talking about judgment of the sheep and the goats. And you know, the country we live in, the society we live in, it's all tailored towards being a goat. It's all tailored towards looking after yourself. It's not tailored towards helping each other. It's tailored towards individualism. The goats are individuals, and we live in the Western world. We live in a goat nations, goat society, where it's encouraged to look after yourself first, not to look after each other. And I was studying these scriptures and looking at other scriptures that also talked about, you know, Daniel 7, Daniel's vision of judgment, and Revelation 20 and Revelation 13, where it talks of judgment. And the judgment is not about works, and it's not about what you do to get saved, to get that eternal life. You look at Matthew 25, and it looks plainly like if you have done these things, then you get eternal life. It seems to be very works-based. Okay, Jesus says, you didn't do this, so you don't get in. You did this, so you can get in. But how many of us know that it's not by works but by faith that we are saved? It's by faith that we are faith in Jesus. And the Bible doesn't contradict itself. And so I was a bit challenged there for a while because we're not judged by works, it's by our heart and by our faith and what we believe, right? But who knows that Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness and self-control. And if you have faith in God, then you want to walk in those fruits. And walking in those fruits results in these sort of actions that Jesus is talking about. Helping other people out, not looking at yourself, being kind to others, giving and not taking. And ultimately, the sheep mentality that we need to walk in all comes out of walking in the Spirit. There's two ways in Matthew 25. There's sheep and goats. There's two ways that we in Galatians. There's walking by the flesh or walking by the Spirit. And we know that in Matthew 13 verse 24 it talks about the tares and the wheat. You know, there's going to be a separation of the tares and the wheat. There's a separation between the sheep and the goats, and there's going to be a separation of the grain from the husk and the stalk and the trash, as we call it in farming terms, from the grain. You know, there's going to be a separation from the good and the bad. And the good, although we're accepted by faith, we need to be walking that faith out. We need to be walking it out in showing the fruit of it. You know, if we're not showing fruit, then we're not walking it out. We're not walking out our belief, our conviction. You know, faith without works is dead. So we need to be walking out what we believe. So it's easy to walk like the goats. You know, we believe something, but if we're walking like the goats and we're looking after ourselves and we're not helping people in need, we're not looking at others. We're just in our own little bubble. That's not what God wants. That's not what Jesus has called us to. He's called us to look at others, look outside our own circle, share with others, be generous, give to others. And, you know, right now, it's prime time to be looking outside our circle. Joel chapter 3. Let's go back there. Verse 9, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all men of war draw near. Let them come up. Put your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there. Let nations be wakened up and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. We'll skip down to 13. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. You know, the world out there, the goat nation that we live in, is ripe for the picking. The harvest is ready now. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they said that people have just never heard about Jesus. In Australia, there's people that just don't know. And we think, you know, because I grew up in an era where, you know, church was connected to a lot of families. And so there was, everyone sort of knew of that. But today, this is, you know, I'm talking 30 years down the track, it's a different world out there. There's people out there who just actually haven't heard. They just actually don't know. And they're taught a whole different picture from schools, from government, from society, from all these activists and other people who have got different agendas, that this is life and this is what life is, and they have no connection to Jesus and what he's done for us. And so the harvest is as ripe as it's been as long as I can remember. It's time it's time now to look outside our circle and say, how can we wake up the mighty man? The mighty man is there, mighty man inside us, right? It's the Christ in us, the overcomer, the strength, the authority that we have in him. You know, we need to wake up that mighty man. We need to use our plowshares, our pruning hooks, that's the tools in our hand, that's our workplace, that's whatever vocation we do, whatever purpose we're called to, whatever area God has us in, use that to be a weapon for the kingdom. Use that to be effective in the kingdom. And so now, more than ever, is a time to wake ourselves up, to look outside ourselves. And so we start bearing fruit of the Spirit. We need to be walking by the Spirit, looking outside and bearing that fruit of sharing with someone, seeing someone in need and connecting to them, not just thinking, oh, glad it's not me or that poor bloke or that poor person. I really feel for you. I'll pray for you sometime. Or you know, just a token gesture. Let's really connect with people. We've got to reach out and look at others and say, look, we've got something. It's valuable. They may never even heard it. They don't even know anything about it. And so we just need to reach out to them and say, hey, can I help you with some food? Can I help you with you know, I can offer you this, I can offer you that, because, you know, how blessed are we? We've always got something to offer. And God will put it in our hand to give. And that's what needs to be our focus every day, not just on Sunday and we come to church and we remember God. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm a Christian today. But we need to be 7 days a week Christians, reaching out to those around us, stepping out, bearing that fruit and connecting to those around us. We want to be sure that we're the sheep, right? We want to be sure that we're the sheep. You know, it says in the Bible that a third of the saints are swept away with a tail in Revelations, I think it is. And, you know, we don't want to be part of that third, that company that gets swept away, that doesn't make it. We don't want to be those virgins. In Matthew 25, it talks about the wise virgins, you know, the lamps that didn't have enough oil. They didn't make it, you know. They were in that group. We're in that group. We don't want to be left behind. It takes a daily effort, every day, reminding yourself, wake up, mighty man, let's be kingdom-focused today. And look, I'm as busy as anyone when it comes to work, family, other commitments, everything, you know, and it's hard. I know it's hard, but it takes 30 days to change a habit, and it becomes like a habit of reminding yourself, yes, today I'm going to keep my eyes open and look out and see who I can see who I can help, see what I can do. Can we just stand, please, this morning? Lord, we thank you for your purpose. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have for us, all that you've planted in us, all that you've done in us, all that you've given us, that so that we can give out. And so, Lord, today we want you to have your way, to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and use us. Use every single one of us today, Lord, to reach out and build your kingdom, to step forward and build your kingdom, to help others and look beyond ourselves. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would anoint each of us to walk by your Spirit, to talk by your Spirit, to see by your Spirit in every situation and be led by your Spirit, that we might be able to fulfill your purposes. We know that you've got a purpose and a calling for each of us, Lord. And every day your purpose is fulfilled. And so, Lord, we just give you the opportunity to use us. Use us to build your kingdom. And I just pray that you would touch every single one of us, Lord. We just give you glory and thanks in Jesus' name. You know, if there's anything that's troubling you or finding difficult, you know, I spoke at the start about challenges and obstructions and difficulties, which you know, you might be constantly hit with. Yeah, I'm happy to pray with you about those things. But going forward this week, let's all focus on looking outwards and not inwards. Let's look out at those around us. Let's look out at those who we can help. Let's look out at those who we know or see or encounter. You know, there might not be someone we know, but just a random person, and be open to listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings on what He'd have us to do.
Thanks, Cam. So, we're all just stupid sheep with no brains, aimlessly wandering around. So we need to look up, because without looking up, we're blind. We don't know where we're going, we don't know what we're doing. Keep your focus upon Him. And there's 200 sheep, one goes off to the side, you've lost all 200. So keep looking up. Don't look at what the people around you are doing. Look up, look up, look up. And His word is a light to your path, a lamp to your feet. Without Him, we're lost. We're a lost sheep. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Cam. Be blessed now. Remember, we've got Epic Youth on Friday night. So, gentlemen, if we can pack up all the chairs. We finished early, so there's plenty of time for a chat and tea and coffee. We've got the barista in the kitchen. Hallelujah.